Thank you, Jerry and Dwayne. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Right now, we'll talk to all of you out there in Radio Land. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Just terrible one for the Blue Jays tonight. Just a terrible one. They lose 8-0. They get out hit 14-2. No hits after the third inning. No base runners after the third inning. And really only one hard hit ball. And that was Danny Valencia's drive towards the right field corner that was run down by Kevin Kiermaier leading off the fifth. The Blue Jays just didn't get it done. And it's the second time in three games that the Bats have not gotten it done to an extreme level. Right now, they're 4.5 games out of that second wild card held by the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers are losing. The Mariners are losing. The Yankees are tied 3-3 with the White Sox in the bottom of the eighth. So there exists a very real possibility that all this ugliness will have been is just one game off the schedule, and the Blue Jays will be 4 games out when they wake up in the morning. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. As for the Baltimore Orioles, I guess should have mentioned that. I'll have to find them. They already lost 4-1 to the Chicago Cubs this afternoon. I mentioned a little bit earlier in the game that Mike Minor was flirting with a no-hitter for the Atlanta Braves. He had two out in the eighth inning. Billy Hamilton broke it up with two out in the eighth inning. The speedy Reds center fielder got a single, an RBI single with a walk aboard. So it's now a 1-1 tie in the top of the ninth, Braves and Reds, and no-hitter for Mike Minor. Off to the phones we go. Joel in Toronto leading things off on listening to our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Joel, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks. Hey, Mike. I was at the game tonight, so unfortunately I didn't have the benefit of replay on my side. There were two things that I noticed, and I just want to hear your opinion. Maybe you got to see it a few more times than I didn't get to see it.
Sure.
There was a base hit up the middle that went to Rasmus. It seemed like a seeing eye single up the middle, and the guy ended up getting set to second base. And to be honest, I took my head away because I thought the play was over after the base hit. And I'm just wondering if there was a lack of hustle on that. I don't know if the replay told a better story than what I saw. And there was also a second play. It was the error. I believe it was charged to Tolleson on the double play.
Yes.
The ball in the dirt, and Edwin tried to scoop it. He didn't make it. A run ended up scoring there. From what I saw, and again, I didn't have the replay, so I can't go back on anything, but it looked like Edwin was walking to the ball with his back turned to home plate. And I'm not saying he would have made the play. I'm just wondering if I'm reading too much into it, or was maybe there a little bit of a lack of effort just due to maybe some frustration tonight. I don't know. Again, maybe I'm overreading it, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I think you are. I think you're right on the first one, not on the second one. But, I mean, if Colby Rasmus was frustrated because the Blue Jays were down 1-0 in the fourth inning, and that's a big issue. But Rasmus played that ball. I mean, I did the same thing that you did. It was a ground ball up the middle, and I looked down on my scorecard, and I wrote single. And then I looked up, and there was Kevin Kiermaier sliding into second base. Colby played that like it was a single. He played it as though it was just an ordinary routine base hit, which it was, but as though the runner was just kind of going to be satisfied with a single. Kevin Kiermaier's really fast, and Kevin Kiermaier's going to steal a base on you once in a while on a play like that, and he did. So either Colby forgot about the scouting report or just kind of assumed that was a routine single like 1,000 other routine singles that he gets over the course of a season. I mean, it's not an excuse. You got to keep your eye on things and make sure that you're making plays so that people can't just take extra bases on you at will. But I don't think it was especially lazy. He just played it routinely, and Kiermaier didn't. And I didn't see Edwin walking after that ball. But you know what? Even if he did, that run was scoring no matter what. So,
fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that.
All right, thank you.
All right, appreciate your eye, though. It's good paying attention-ness. Blue Jays lose 8-0 to the Rays. Let's go out to Ryan in Kingston, who's listening on 1310 out of Ottawa. Ryan, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. I watched the game tonight. I just want to make a comment on Deonner Navarro's defense behind the plate. I believe it was either the second or third inning, and there's a 3-2 count, and there's a pitch that's kind of close, and he caught it on an odd kind of way. And I think we've been accustomed to that this season, on him behind the plate catching. He's not very good at giving the umpire a good look on strikes. It happened to Drabek's first pitch in the seventh inning as well. And he kind of slapped at the ball. But even after that, on the stolen base attempt, it was a really bad throw, causing the second. And then he didn't get down on the curveball, which allowed him to go to third. And Kiermaier obviously hit the hit after that. But I just wanted to comment on his defense over the course of the season. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, all that's fair. Deonner Navarro is not an especially good defensive catcher. I think that a lot of people make assumptions about players, and I'm not 100% sure why. We knew Navarro wasn't a good defensive catcher when the Blue Jays brought him in. I didn't expect him to take as many balls out of the strike zone as he has this year, but he's not an especially good thrower, not terrific at getting down on balls. He's here because he doesn't strike out and because he's a good hitter, and he's an okay enough catcher. But really, I mean, that's what he is. So I don't think it's laziness. I think that's Deonner Navarro's level of ability. And you hope that the good that he does outweighs the bad. It's an interesting thing to think about, though, as far as would you rather have a guy who's great at framing pitches and can't hit at all than have a guy who's not and can? And there are, you know, there are two sides to that argument.
That kind of brought up my next point I was going to say, because we know Kratz is really good at catching, and Deonner Navarro doesn't really bring any value to the bases. He's actually a really bad base runner as well. So do you think for next season they'd be better off dumping that contract and maybe making a play at Russell Martin, or even just trading for someone who's kind of undervalued that he can catch really well, make those kind of like Jose Molina? So I believe on Baseball Prospectus actually keeps the stat of it. Navarro's been 11 runs below average this season just on framing pitches. That's not even taking account the base running or the blocking of the balls. And
well, you're getting the same base running and blocking of balls from Jose Molina too, right?
Yeah, but
that doesn't change.
No, definitely. But the catch framing definitely is an upgrade over what, even with the bat. If you take the bat
sure
into account, Molina's actually been a better catcher than Navarro this season.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's true or not, because Molina's been just such a poor hitter.
The bat is terrible, but I mean,
right,
he's there for the pitch framing. That's pretty much what.
Right. But he's hitting 186 with with no power at all and a 240 on base. So Deonner Navarro, you've got a 273 average and a 314 on base and a little bit of pop. So I don't think that you can state as a fact that Molina's been more valuable than Navarro. I think that's definitely debatable, because pitch framing is really, really important. I don't dispute that at all. But they had Jose Molina here. What good did it do him?
Well, he was pretty good with Brendan Morrow when Brendan Morrow was here.
Uh-huh. Great.
So, I mean,
they didn't win anything with Jose Molina here either. I want a good catcher. I want a catcher who does everything well. There just aren't a lot of those out there. So you got to live with a flaw one way or the other.
You think Russell Martin makes sense? He's a free agent at the end of the year.
I think Russ Martin's okay.
He's been really good with the bat as well this year.
This year, but he's had some up and down times, right? I mean, you know, Russ Martin is, he's not what he was, what I thought he was going to wind up being. He's fine. He's fine. He's got a good arm. He's had a great year this year, but he's coming off of three straight years with crappy on base percentages and crappy batting averages. Two of those years in the American League. So, you got Navarro for another year for $4 million. I'm not opposed to making an overture to Russ Martin by any means, but I don't think he's the the panacea or anything like that. It's nice that he's Canadian. That's swell. I appreciate the call. I want to get some other people. Thank you for that. Blue Jays get smoked 8-0 by Tampa Bay. They were terrible tonight. Start to finish. Terrible. We will get two more of your calls in a second, but first, how about some Skipper? Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's whitewash.
Gibby, this is the third time in four starts that Stroman has had problems. How do you assess what's gone wrong with him?
Well, I mean, he battled tonight. I mean, they threw some good at-bats on him. Got some big hits. You know, I thought overall we played a lousy game, but, you know, that was not why we got beat. Smiley, I mean, took it to us pretty good, kept us off balance all night. But, you know, we have seen, you know, when he's been struggling a little bit, that ball's up in the zone a little bit more than normal. That's pretty much, I mean, that's basically it. But I thought he battled, you know. I mean, he got some key strikeouts at the right time. But, you know, they took a little lead. We couldn't get anything to go and to put any pressure on those guys. And then they opened it up there late, so.
Two-parter. I mean, with these games being so important right now, one, how frustrating is it to watch a game like that? And second of all, is it all just pitching, or is the team flat for some reason?
Well, I mean, we couldn't get anything going off Smiley, and then when you fall behind like that, I mean, just it can suck the wind out of you. It shouldn't, but it does. I agree. You know, I figured we'd come out there tonight with a little more energy. We didn't have it, and we made some mistakes. You know, couldn't turn the big double play, laid back on a couple balls, didn't get, you know, things like that. But you know, Smiley was pretty good. I'll give him that.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, Smiley was good, and you also mentioned kind of a lousy overall game. Is the difficult part is that all those little misplays, the double play, all the other little things that weren't done, kind of just took yourselves out of it, that you didn't even kind of give yourself a chance to stay close?
Well, yeah, I mean, that does. I mean, that hurts you. You know, they're facing extra hitters. You know, I mean, they had guys on base all night. Yeah, when they give you an out, you got to take it, you know.
This is 100% true. When they give you an out, you have to take it. And the Blue Jays didn't take a few of the outs that they were given tonight. But that's not what killed them. What killed them was that they had nothing going on at the plate. Jose Reyes leads off with a single. Melky Cabrera, then with a desperation two-strike swing, bounces into a double play. And the Jays get one more base runner all night. And it was a two-out single by Steve Tolleson. You're not going to win with two hits, despite the fact that the Rays won with one yesterday. For the most part, unless your pitcher is phenomenal. And Marcus Stroman was a long way from phenomenal tonight, as you heard John Lott of the National Post ask that question three times in his last four starts, that Stroman simply has not been good. It's 23. This is the first time as a professional that he's been a starting pitcher this deep into a season. I think he made 21 starts last year. And he's the guy they're counting on. So he's got to be better. Henry is in Brantford listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Henry.
Thank you very much. Thanks for my call.
Thanks for making it.
We were at the game tonight, and I would say the biggest difference that I thought was actually Smiley. I mean, he started out both batters, 0-2, while our pitchers were struggling and scratching to get strikes, and more often than not, we're behind. So, you know, the Jays didn't get hits, but I think we got to give Smiley credit.
I hope so. I really do. I'm just wondering, you know, because Tuesday night in Milwaukee, they also got two hits. And the last 24 guys were retired in a row. And you have to tip your cap to the pitcher for sure when there's a great performance. But when the great performances are becoming almost routine, and they happen in Seattle too, and not just Felix, it was Chris Young too. Then you got to kind of wonder, right?
Yeah, you do. Because, I mean, in reality, I think aside from you know, Cabrera, well, the top of the order, you got Reyes, Cabrera, Batista, and Encarnacion. After that, you really don't have any threats. So we're not getting hits from any of them.
Well, I think you're selling Valencia short. He's been outstanding against left-handers, and that was the case tonight. And Adam Lind has had a great year, and he's back now to be that fifth hitter.
I was hoping he would have been in there tonight anyways, even though it was a lefty.
I don't know why you would have been hoping that.
I think he's done well.
You're entitled to believe that, but the facts would state the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like the complete opposite of that.
But anyways, I mean, I think the big difference was the pitching. He started out every batter and with strikes, and it was always trying to come from behind.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I said off the top, I hope you're right. I really do, because. You know, and ordinarily I would say exactly the same thing, but it's just a little too suspicious, let's say, that it's the second time in three games that the Blue Jays have had zero base runners after the third inning.
Do you think, Mike, that the fact that the Jays didn't make any moves up the trade deadline has taken a little bit of wind out of the sails?
If it did, shame on them.
I agree,
you know,
I
would
you
expect
think that's
them.
Possible?
I think anything's possible. If it is, I mean, if the fact that the Blue Jays didn't make any moves at the deadline has resulted in this, then you got to blow this team up next season, because all that means is you're dealing with a group of players that it's an unprofessional group. And you know, their job is not to be the general manager. Their job is to play. And the Kansas City Royals didn't make any moves at the deadline either. And they've got the best record in baseball, or right among the best records in baseball since the break.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, right?
No, that's right.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. The Royals pick up Jason Fraser in the middle of July. The Blue Jays pick up Danny Valencia from the Royals 3 days before the deadline. Kansas City does nothing. They're in first place now, and they weren't in first place at the deadline. Seattle doesn't do much. They pick up Christian Orfia, who is the poor man's Danny Valencia, and they pick up Austin Jackson, who is the rich man's Nolan Reimel. Same as Blue Jays, basically. They've been great. So if the Blue Jays are frustrated and upset that Alex Anthopoulos didn't make a trade at the deadline, then there's a big issue in that clubhouse if it's reflected in their play. If they're upset, that's fine. If they're upset and they're taking it onto the field with them, that is far less than fine. And I don't think they are. But they lost 8-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Doug in Toronto, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Love your coverage.
Thank you.
I want to make a very salient point very quick. If I'm Jose Bautista, come the offseason, I go to AA and say, please get me out of Toronto.
Why is that?
If you look at the Blue Jays lineup, as you do every day, number 6, 7, 8, and 9 positions in the batting order. We're like a triple-A Buffalo club.
No, that's
and
not true.
I don't want any part of it. If I'm Jose Bautista, get me out of Dodge.
I think your expectations are a little high for the bottom of a Major League batting order. The Blue Jays, when they're healthy, the bottom of the order is pretty good. But if you're Jose Bautista, this is a team that gave you a chance to play. This is a team on which you became one of the best players in baseball after having never had that opportunity anywhere else. This is a team that gambled on you and gave you a 5-year contract worth a bunch of money after you had in your entire career one good year in the major leagues. And this is a team that since you got here has raised its payroll by about $50 million. I don't know why you would be asking out.
Okay, good points, Mike. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose 8-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Cameron's in London listening on CJBK. Hey, Cameron.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm all right.
I'm just going to get right to my point. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I wanted to talk about the elephant in the room. Gibby, they've given up on him.
And based on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
No. I said your opinion is based on what?
That, well, look at tonight's play. They're not rushing. Rasmus didn't even look for second base on that play, and I don't think that they are really trying for Gibby anymore. Even listening to Gibby's post-game conference, it doesn't even sound like they're playing for Gibby anymore.
What?
I just finished listening to Gibby's post-game.
Yeah, so did I.
And it sounds like, well, they played terrible tonight, and it was a lousy game.
It was a lousy game. What's he supposed to say?
I don't know. I just don't see the passion or the fire anymore in the team.
Well, it's hard to see it when they lose 8-0. It's true. I'll give you that. But I think you're taking a rather huge leap in saying that it's because of John Gibbons and because they've decided that they don't want to play for John Gibbons anymore. I don't see where those dots connect.
Well, you know, three of the last four games, they've been murdered. Two hits.
Yep.
24. Straight.
Yeah.
It's just getting to the point where I think that they don't have the. I just think they've given up on Gibbons and it's
right.
Time
but
to
again,
call
I mean, all you're doing,
or,
all, Cameron, all you're doing is repeating yourself. You're not. You still haven't told me why. Why do you think that this means John Gibbons?
I think that there comes a point in time when the losses start piling up, that they stop with the hustle, that it's time to bring in fresh blood, and it's past the trade deadline. There's nothing more they can do except for the waiver wire. And I think that what they have to do is start at the management position because they need some inspiration to play for, and I don't think they're getting it with Gibby. I don't think Gibbons has the fire or passion anymore to lead this team.
All right. You're entitled to that opinion, Cameron, and I appreciate it. I don't think it's based on any facts whatsoever. I think you're sort of drawing up a story to connect your own dots and a decision that you've made, but you're entitled to do that. Players aren't playing well. It's on the players. Period. End of story. These guys are making a ton of money to do this, and the least that's expected of them, you can't expect them to win every night, but the least that's expected of them is to put up a fight. And tonight they didn't do that. Tuesday night in Milwaukee, they didn't do that. That's not a reflection of their manager. We will continue to take your calls all the way to the top of the hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet590.ca. Blue Jays lose it. 8-0 to Tampa. It's the Honda postgame on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Can't get enough of your Toronto Blue Jays.
Home run, Jose Bautista.
Check them out online at MLB.com and keep listening to the games on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Deep to left field. Back for it goes Melky Cabrera. He's looking up, and that ball is gone. Three rows back into the 100 level beyond the Blue Jays bullpen in left center field. And with that, Tampa Bay goes out in front 1-0.
And that was all they needed. Evan Longoria's home run, a big one, leading off the second inning. Longoria would wind up adding a single and a double and driving a couple more as the Tampa Bay Rays steamrolled the Blue Jays 8-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, taking your calls up to the top of the hour at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays competition not having a good night, but the Yankees just walked off the Chicago White Sox. Martin Prado with the RBI single with two out in the bottom of the ninth. So the Yankees beat Chicago 6-5, and the Yanks now back in second all by themselves, a game ahead of the Blue Jays. Everything else goes the Blue Jays' way tonight in far-flung destinations. The Red Sox are leading the Mariners 3-0 in the top of the ninth. The Tigers are trailing the Twins 6-5 in the top of the sixth. The Orioles already lost 4-1 to the Chicago Cubs. So if all stays the same, the Blue Jays will still be four games out of that second wild card tomorrow. But it is another day off the schedule, and when you're chasing another day off the schedule where you don't pick up any ground, is a bad thing, even if you don't lose any ground. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Michael in Markham. Michael, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I think it's over, and I'll tell you why. The Jays' best chance of getting into the playoffs is to take the second wild card spot, which is currently held by the Tigers, right?
Correct.
So, six things have to happen.
Six things have to happen.
Okay. A, the Jays have to get hot.
Right.
B, the Tigers have to cool off a bit.
Eh, C, not necessarily.
Well.
No.
Yeah, okay. Let me rephrase that. The Jays have to get hot.
Yes.
The Tigers cannot get hot.
Correct.
The Mariners cannot get hot.
Yes.
The Yankees cannot get hot.
The Cleveland Indians cannot get hot. Why not?
Cleveland's half a game behind each other.
Yeah, but if the Blue Jays get hot, then they'll stay out.
What I'm saying is Cleveland cannot get hotter than the Jays.
Correct. No team that the Blue Jays are chasing or that the Blue Jays are within, within striking distance of the Blue Jays can get hotter than the Jays.
So, this is clear.
That's one thing that has to happen.
No, there's five teams that play. The Jays have to play better than New York, better than Detroit, better than Seattle, better than Cleveland.
Yep.
And by the end of this series, they'll probably have to play better than Tampa Bay.
That's just silly.
All six of those have to happen. It is over. Considering the way they're playing now, it's done.
Congratulations, Michael. Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. I'll never understand why some Blue Jays quote-unquote fans, and I appreciate the call, kind of. I'll never understand why some fans have such unreserved glee in declaring the season over in the last week of August. Just, you know, shake yourselves a little bit. Teams come back from four-game deficits in September all the time. All the time. And the math doesn't work for any one of them going into September. But it happens all the time. Are the Blue Jays likely to make the playoffs? Certainly not. Is the season over? That's just stupid. Brandon is in Edmonton. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Mike. Just a couple quick points. I concede the fact that the season is likely finished, and don't waste your time with Marty Prado or, you know, what they could have done, Chase Headley. I think it may make sense, being that this is their probably best shot in a long time of making a run like this.
Uh-huh.
Why not roll the dice on Alfonso Soriano or Gordon Beckham or one of those guys that's not going to cost you a ton?
Alfonso Soriano's retired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he didn't want to play for anybody anymore.
Oh, geez. I think there's guys out there that could be had relatively cheap.
But let's take Gordon Beckham, for example, and he was traded 2 days ago to the Angels.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who's been a good player sometimes but has been disappointing far more often than not, who's having a terrible year. Why would you want to bring in someone who's having a terrible year?
Here's my thought. My thought is that Gibbons goes to the bench pretty much every game, or it's some sort of platoon. There's specific positions they're basically getting zero offense out of.
One position that they're getting zero offense out of.
Well, Colby Rasmus, I would argue as well.
All right, that's not necessarily unfair, but I'll give you Juan Francisco.
Okay, sure. Why not roll the dice on somebody like that?
Because he's having a terrible year. Why are you going to bring in somebody else who's going to be terrible too?
I just think it costs you nothing to try him out for 2 weeks or whatever that has to look like. Right?
Except for the 2 weeks that you're trying out a guy who's got a 260 on base.
I guess so. Yeah, you're right. Fair enough. Second thing is, I kind of get a feeling that R.A. Dickey won't be back next year. I think he'll hang him up. He doesn't look like he wants to play.
I couldn't agree with you in the slightest. That's not true at all. I can't imagine why you would even say something like that. He's got a 3.50 ERA since the middle of April.
I don't disagree that he isn't getting, at par results with what we expect, but he just looks tired. Doesn't look like a guy who's engaged when they show shots on the bench. Just seems like doesn't want to play.
I hate to tell you, you are completely making that up.
All right, well, fair enough.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you. That's a first. Haven't heard that one yet. If there's anyone who might retire after the season, I might think it would be Mark Burley if he doesn't pull his season back together and have more starts like the one he had last Saturday and fewer like the three before that. But he'd be leaving $19 million on the table. I already think he's not going anywhere. Nor should he. Ryan in Mississauga, you're next on Blue Jays Talk. Welcome.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I completely agree with you. All right, Dickie's having a much better season this year than he had last year. A quick question before I get to my point. Is Mike Ceristeris still under contract?
Yeah, he's got another year.
Okay. Well, I wonder what all the talk is about needing a second baseman for next year, then.
Well, it's probably because Meister hit 160 last year.
Well, and he was hitting 400-something this year. Just
he played
to,
11 games.
A large sample size, you're right.
Played 11 games this year.
Well, that's what I mean. It wasn't a particular large sample size, you're right.
Yeah,
about that,
he's not the answer at second base.
No,
if you fall into Meister Asturias to be your second baseman next year, and he's the Meister Asturias that he was for the years with the Angels before he got to Toronto, then fine. But Meister Asturias is a guy that 98% of Blue Jays fans wanted released in spring training.
You're absolutely right. I was just wondering if he was still under contract.
Yeah, he still is.
My point was I completely agree with Jose Bautista and the comments he made at the trade deadline. I totally think we needed to pick up some other players. I think we needed to pick up some players who can hit, apparently. I think he was probably talking about pitchers, but from what I've seen, other than the 9-5 win yesterday, of course. But, it's been kind of rough sledding. And as far as I'm concerned, I think Jose really needs to stand up and put his money where his mouth is as far as those comments went, because the hitting has not been close to up to par over the last, couple weeks since the trade deadline. So,
at the very least, it's been the last couple of weeks. Jose Bautista, to his credit, went 0-for-3 today, and that's the first time this month that he hasn't reached base in a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. His on base percentage has been...
Yeah, he's still leading the major leagues in on base percentage, isn't he?
So, I can tell you for sure, Mike.
I'm taking a look right now. He's still leading the American League, so now I got to go look at the other people. Yes,
well,
he's still leading the major leagues in on base percentage. So as far as putting his money where his mouth is, he's getting out less than any other player in baseball. So that's
okay. You
know, there you go. I'm going to try to talk to him
over the last 2 weeks.
I'm going to try to talk to Jose Bautista tomorrow for the pregame show. Because honestly, I can't believe that we're still talking about this whole trade deadline thing. And I'd love to talk to him to get him to clear the air, to tell him to talk to us about the mood in the clubhouse, to talk to us about whether or not the Blue Jays' inaction on July 31st had a tangible effect on the fact that this team is now, 5-13 in August. So I'm going to try to do that. And hopefully we'll get some answers. 8-0, Blue Jays lose to Tampa. They're out hit 14-2. They get one base runner after Jose Reyes' leadoff single in the first. Tom is in Waterloo. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. Watching the afternoon game, Yankees-Astros out. Yesterday, and the color commentary guy, ex-Yankee, the comment came up that the team got no hit. And Torrey, who didn't call team meetings, called a team meeting, and he said, this isn't about being no hit. That happened. It's just about the total lack of effort, no extras, just nothing from you guys this game. And that's just what this team looked like tonight for me. I'm not there. I'm not, I am far away, but...
Oh, this was a terrible game.
The guy said he made us all look at ourselves. And I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with this team right now.
Well, they're certainly playing like crap. I think that's, absolutely the truth. I don't know if meetings help. I don't know if, for my opinion, these guys are all grown-ups. And they should be able to look in the mirror without having to be told. But?
Well, that was part of the story.
Couldn't hurt, right?
That was part of the story. Torrey didn't hold team meetings probably for that very reason, Mike. You're adults. but he did this day because they just looked so crappy on the field. And he said, this isn't about being no hit. It's just about the way you look. None of the Jays even had dirt on themselves. None of them even slid anywhere tonight, you know?
Well, there was nobody on base. There's nowhere to slide. Reyes did.
Anyway.
Actually, he didn't slide in the second on that double play.
You get my point.
Just, I do get your point.
They seem very, very flat, Mike. And at this time of the year, I'm not sure they shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't be. Anyway, I'm going to let you go.
Well, I'll agree with you. A team in a race should not be flat at the end of August. But they are called dog days for a reason. But there's no excuse for a lack of effort. And I don't know if what we're seeing is a lack of effort or if we're just seeing a team that got its head handed to it for the second time in three games. I don't know that a meeting will help. It probably can't hurt. But at some point, you know, you have to be accountable for your own performance. John Gibbons wasn't any of those 19 consecutive outs to end the game. John Gibbons didn't let the first six hitters of the sixth inning reach base. Sam in Hamilton, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead. Sam didn't want to talk anymore. That makes me sad. Call back, Sam, if you gave up on us. Remember, you might have to be on hold for a while, but that's only because there are a ton of callers. Oh, Derek Brandeo says, this is Sam in Hamilton. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Mike.
I feel bad for casting aspersions upon you.
It kind of gave me a little heart attack there.
Yeah, that can happen, huh? When you're holding on and you hear your name and nothing happens. Sorry about that.
It's all good. I want to talk about this game and about this season. What's really frustrating me the most about this season is how bipolar this team is, and not only by month, but game by game. Like Wednesday's game, I thought, you know what, we're breaking out of it. Batista hits that home run. Rasmus hits that home run. I thought, okay, this is it. And then today's game is just two hits. Like, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? If it wasn't such a roller coaster with the extreme ups and extreme downs, I don't know that it would be as frustrating as it's been, but you're 100% right. You know, they can look like world beaters for 2 weeks or a month and then spend 2 weeks looking like they can't beat anybody.
Yeah. What I talk about is John Gibbons and the front office. John Gibbons, I love John Gibbons, and I think a lot of people don't give him enough credit how much he talks and how good of a talker he is, because I listen to him and, you know, I listen to his words, and his words are amazing, even though I think a lot of people kind of not give him credit because he has that southern accent. But I love how he talks. But I just don't think it's fair to bring him back next season. You know, I love the guy, but I just feel like we need change next season. And if we see Gibbons, you know, we see the core of this team together next season, that people are just going to say, oh, how do we not know this is going to happen again? And I just feel like if we can change, because I don't think Alex Anthopoulos is going anywhere, and that's my actual second point. But I just think Gibby shouldn't be back, and it's not fair for Gibby to be back next year, too.
I don't think that's reasonable at all. Like, no. You've got a guy who's a terrific tactician, manages a ball game brilliantly. Why would you get rid of him just for the sake of, well, so we can say we changed something?
I know. I love Gibby, but it's frustrating for him, and it's frustrating to watch, and just, you know. But also, I want to talk about the front office. There's a lot of rumors saying Beeston might retire. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't either, but there are rumors, that's for sure.
If he does retire, and like I've been listening to Primetime Sports, he's going to retire on his own term. Like, they're not going to tell him to get out. Alex Anthopoulos take over his position? Or
no.
Like, and if so, like, who's going to take over his position?
I don't know. I'm kind of hoping it might be me. I think that would be kind of cool.
You think you can smooth talk the big guys as much as him?
I could try. I can try. I know some of the big guys. But certainly not as well as Beeston, that's for sure. I don't think Alex Anthopoulos wants to be president of the team. I certainly don't think that he's...
Is it possible?
Well, I can't say I hope it'll be me and say I don't think Alex is qualified to do it, because he's certainly a lot more qualified than I am. But I'll say he's too young there, because I'm like 6 years older than him.
Can he do both or no?
No, he can't do both.
Okay. Also, last question, just a small little thing. About that Cuban outfielder, the Red Sox just
Castillo,
signed.
Castillo, yeah.
Yeah, were the Blue Jays any interest in him or no?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they were. They're interested in everybody.
But would you give him the money Red Sox gave him?
I don't know. I've never seen the guy play.
I know, but a lot of people have been comparing him to Yasiel Puig and Andrew McCutchen. And I'm just thinking, like, as a Jays fan, like, as much as, you know, hype is hype, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the Jays uniform, even if it does cost $72 million.
I wouldn't mind either, you know what? And especially with the way Jose Abreu's worked out and the way Yasiel Puig has worked out, I wouldn't either. But you got to think about that, too, and say, well, there was only one team in Major League Baseball that was willing to give him that kind of money. So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the risk-benefit analysis is. I don't know what the scouts saw. I've never seen the guy play. I've never talked to anyone who's seen him play. So, I can't make a judgment on that. But the Red Sox were the only ones who thought he was worth what they gave him.
Yeah, true. Okay, cool. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you, Sam. Thanks for sticking around even after I threw to you and you weren't up. Blue Jays lose it 8-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Just an embarrassing game in front of 28,000 people here at Rogers Center. But, hey, you know what? A month ago, an equally embarrassing game against the Boston Red Sox. A 14-1 loss, and they came off of that by winning 9 of their next 10. Maybe 8 or 9, not sure. Aaron in Toronto, you're next on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Earlier on in the Blue Jays Talk, everybody was mentioning, how Navarro, is a pretty good hitter, but he's a poor defender. You know who's actually a really good defender and also a really good hitter for a catcher?
Tell me.
Yan Gomes. Yan Gomes is top 5 in OPS for catchers, and he's got an incredible arm. And, he can't be worse at pitch framing because the Jays apparently are the worst at that. That's one of 4 things, let me tell you, that I'm extremely frustrated in. So that's the first thing. The second thing is Steve Tolleson. Steve Tolleson has batted under 200 since May 26th. I went on Fangraphs, and it's very, very frustrating.
What's he hit against lefties over that time? I'd like to know, because I've heard that about Tolleson a few times. I'd love to know how those numbers break down.
Well, the
righty
thing is that how many times has he faced right-handed pitching, though?
Too many times, because he's been forced into it. He has. He's been forced into it a few times, and too many times.
He can't be hitting left-handed pitching that good if he's hitting below 200, though, no?
But he can't be hitting left-handed pitching that bad if his OPS against him is still almost 900.
I think his OPS was over 1.0 in May, though.
I think it was around 990 by the end of May.
Yeah, that's the key thing. The second thing I find very frustrating, Mike, and I love you to death, my friend. I think that you're top of the game, and you're one of the only personalities on Fan 5 that I actually find interesting. The thing is, honestly, there's a reason why I listen to you every night. It's because you're not just a loud voice. You do your research, and you talk about facts, and I really respect that. But the thing that I don't like, the one thing that I have a problem with, is the fact that you say that if the Jays got Valencia on the trade deadline, people wouldn't be clamoring, or maybe the Jays wouldn't be clamoring. The fact of the matter is that I think it's really wrong to just isolate this trade deadline. The fact of the matter is that they've had this trade deadline, the previous offseason, and the previous trade deadline to actually add something, and they haven't. And I feel like if you're going to compare Kansas City and Seattle, you should talk about their previous offseason where they actually added something significant. And the very last thing I just want to talk about, my friend, is that, I think that if you're going to compete, you have to have decent pitching. The Jays pitching, which we knew starting pitching, is I think it was 23rd or 24th coming into this game. It probably got worse after this game. We knew it was going to be a problem. You're relying on, Hutchison and Stroman, who've done admirably well, sorry there. But the fact of the matter is, is when you have a payroll of over $130 million, you should be getting starting pitching. Would you not agree?
Well, the Yankees have a payroll of about $200 million, and they have no starting pitching. So I don't think your payroll kind of guarantees any specific anything. You look at especially the Yankees over the last few years, and some of the guys they've run out, not just on the mound, but in general.
Yeah.
Shows that's not necessarily a valid point. The Blue Jays have okay starting pitching, and it's okay starting pitching that had been pitching well and has now hit a big, big bump in the road over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And one hopes that they can get out of it. But
well, they're 24th or so. Starting pitching ERA.
Yeah, and it's like over nine over the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Tonight it didn't get any better. So it's unfortunate, and the guys that they were depending on have kind of gone off the rails a little bit. R.A. Dickey's really been their only consistently good starting pitcher, and even his last outing wasn't that terrific. I appreciate the call and the points you made. I talk about Kansas City and Seattle at the deadline because that's what people are talking about. The Blue Jays trade deadline, they didn't do anything, and that's why they've gone in the tank. Kansas City and Seattle didn't do much at the trade deadline, and they've gotten much, much better since then. So I don't know that the Robinson Cano signing in December affects the mood of a team after the trade deadline. And as far as Yan Gomes, you're right. Yan Gomes has turned out to be really, really good for the Cleveland Indians, and I hope that this concussion thing that's going on with him now isn't going to take him out for too long. But nobody saw this coming. You look at Yan Gomes in the minors. You look at Yan Gomes in his first year as a Blue Jay. There was no reason to believe that he was going to turn into this. You can't win every trade. And, you know, you're going to get burned sometimes. Ian is driving home from the Bisons game. You were on the you were at the Bisons game?
Yes, I was.
Cool. They won, huh?
Yeah, 11-7.
How did Dalton Pompey look?
He looked okay. He's learning at the plate. It's going to take him time. He's getting used to he's got to make some adjustments to his swing and everything. He swung at a few pitches that were just not even close. And
it's his first game in Triple A. Give the guy a break.
Second game in AAA.
Okay, pardon me.
He did a good job. He made a couple good plays in the outfield. I'm not complaining. It's going to take him time. That's all.
All right, good.
One of those things. It's not about this year because I'll be honest with you, Mike. I'm kind of done on this year. I just don't see the Jays making it. They're just not. They just don't seem to have the horses to pull this off. It's about next year. If Melky leaves and Batista then turns around and says, you know what, we don't have the horses to make the playoffs. I want a ring. I want a shot at a ring, and it's not happening here. And he asks for a trade. Then what do you do?
Then I say, I'm glad you asked for a trade, Jose. Get out there to right field.
Pardon?
Then I would say, I'll take that under advisement, Jose. Until then, get out there and play right field.
No, at the end of the season, if you ask for a trade.
Yeah, then I will say the exact same thing. I'll take that under advisement. I expect you to be in Dunedin in the middle of February.
All right, and I don't see him not being a professional, not doing that. But I don't see him and the team getting along if he wants out, especially since he is the star.
I think that there's a lot too much put on that. I really do. And for me, you know what? If I'm Alex Anthopoulos and a player comes to me who's under contract, to whom I gave a crap load of money.
But he also took a discount deal. We all know that.
He took a what?
Discount
he did
deal.
Not take a discount deal.
He could get one.
He had one
right
good year in his entire major league career, and he was a year away from free agency. He couldn't sign that contract fast enough.
He wanted to. He thought he was.
Of course, he wanted to, because there was a chance he'd have gone back to being a 14 home run guy who hit 260. And he would have gotten nothing on the free agent market. No discount to stay in Toronto. The Blue Jays took a massive gamble on him, and it worked out, and it's worked out very well. But for me, in an overall, it has nothing to do with Jose Bautista. In an overall sense, if a player who's under contract comes to me and says he wants out, I say, thank you very much. You're under contract. Go play.
And what about Melky? How do you replace him if he can't come
back? That's a problem,
honestly,
right?
Melky's been great.
Melky's been great.
The guy that's stirring the drink right now in my mind for this lineup.
I still think that's Bautista, who, again, is getting out less than any other hitter in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, no. But Melky's bet number two.
Melky's terrific.
There's
not a discouraging word to be said about Melky Cabrera. But if Melky Cabrera is going to go out and command a long-term deal for a big, big whack of money, and if the Blue Jays can do it, and you know maybe all that has to happen is that they take the money that Colby Rasmus is making and fold it into Melky's deal, and there you go. You got $15 million to spend on Melky. then maybe that's the answer, if he wants to stay. If he doesn't want to stay, he's a free agent. And there's nothing they can do about it.
There's nothing you can do to stop it other than qualify him and at least keep the draft pick compensation on him. You're not going to get it from Rasmus.
You're not going to qualify Rasmus. You're right, Ian. And you're absolutely going to qualify Melky Cabrera, and you'll take the... You'll take the first round pick if he leaves. You won't be thrilled about it. And I don't know. I'm thinking you're going to give center field to Pillar and Ghost next year. I don't think you want to try to win with two rookies in your outfield and a giant question mark at second base. But these are things that that will be dealt with in the offseason. And as much, again, as much as people really want, really, really badly to say, I don't care anymore, the season's over, that's so disappointing to me. It makes me sad. It really does. Teams come back from four-game deficits all the time. It's probably four and a half because Seattle's come back to lead Boston 5-3 in the ninth inning. Koji Uehara had a big meltdown, and now it's over. So Seattle beat the Red Sox. So the Blue Jays are 4.5 out. The season is not over. It's August 22nd. We'll see you tomorrow. We're here at 12:30 for the pregame. Until then.